Sky FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Hello, Professor Shoup. How are you?
Well, cold, but dark. We don't have electricity. Thank goodness for my inverter.
Let's talk about spikes, surges, and second waves.
Right. Okay, these are commonly used terms, and I thought I'd use this opportunity to explain what you really mean. There are three different concepts of the same kind of thing. So just let me start with, you know, we draw an epidemic curve. An epidemic curve is quite a useful graphic if you want to assess where we are in a particular epidemic, also used for modeling and for predicting and so on. And all this epidemic curve is a plot of the number of cases of infection over time. So it's quite a simple thing. There's an upward trajectory as the cases increase over time, reaches a peak, and then when there's herd immunity, when the reproductive number, the R number, drops below one, then the epidemic comes down, the curve comes down, and there are fewer and fewer cases over time. So that's quite straightforward.
Okay.
So what do we mean by a spike? A spike is simply a temporary, unexpected increase in the cases. Either more cases are detected, and therefore it goes up, the curve goes up, or alternatively, there's a genuine increase because there's a temporary breakdown of control measures. So a spike is a temporary increase, an unexpected temporary increase in that epidemic curve. What do we mean by a surge or resurgence? What we mean by that is as the curve comes down, almost down to zero, there's a rapid increase and the epidemic curve goes back up again because control measures have broken down. The R value, the reproductive value goes up again and the curve temporarily goes back up again. In other words, it might come down and then straight away goes back up again. That's a surge or a resurgence.
Okay, so is that data directly related to the lifting of lockdown measures?
Well, it's related to any control. You know, there's a breakdown in control of the infection. It may be lifting of lockdown measures. It may be other factors which promote virus transmission. Now, people not complying, for example, with restrictions.
Okay.
So that's a spike. That's a surge. And then we have what's called a second wave or second and third waves and so on. Now, this is a little bit different because, yeah, It's after the curve comes down. In other words, after the epidemic is over, then there's a temporary period. There's a respite period of varying periods of time. Meantime, in this respite period, as the epidemic is over, there's an accumulation of susceptible individuals, but the virus hasn't disappeared. The virus is still there. The problem is that, of course, there's a tendency to relax the control measures. And then the virus, of course, will find the susceptible, spread rapidly, and then we get a second wave. So it's a wave which occurs after the period when the epidemic comes down.
Why?
Because there's accumulation of susceptibles,
yes,
and the virus is still there. And the control measures one tends to relax after the epidemic. There's a period of euphoria. We actually saw it with Spanish influenza, you know, the 1918, 1919. After the first wave, which was actually quite a minor wave, people then said, oh, well, you know, it's a minor wave. It's influenza. We've had influenza before. And there was a relaxation of all the control measures which were put into place at that time. And then about 4 or 5 months later, bam, we had the second wave. And it was the second wave, which really was a killer wave that killed, what, 50 million people.
Yeah.
Then that came down, and then there was again a respite period and a third wave.
The Spanish influenza, what was the incubation period of that?
Well, incubation.
5 months is a long time.
It's pretty short. No, think of the illness, you mean, of the infection.
Yeah.
It's pretty short. Flu's got an incubation period of a couple of days, two, three, maybe four days. Coronavirus a bit longer than that.
Yeah.
Coronavirus is usually between 3 and 8 days.
Okay, because 4 or 5 months between them thinking that the pandemic had ended to the time that the second wave started, that's a long time.
You see, what happens is that when enough people have been infected and are immune, then the virus doesn't have any more susceptibles to go to, and that we call herd immunity,
yeah,
once we reach that certain level. But then, of course, if you relax control measures, okay, then there's herd immunity which was there before. Now you're building up more and more susceptibles are coming into the population. Either young people, you know, well, children coming into becoming adults, or babies coming become children, you know, that kind of progression.
No.
Or alternatively, those that were left over from the previous epidemic and are not immune.
Why doesn't it affect children? Do we know?
The coronavirus you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, not like any other virus would. I mean, they would usually be highly susceptible. Here, yeah, they don't seem to be.
They don't seem to be. There are a couple of postulated reasons. One of the postulated reasons that there's the specific receptor site is called ACE2, is not well represented in children. It's not well expressed in children because of immaturity. In other words, in the upper respiratory tract, particularly in younger children, babies and younger children. As they mature, of course, then they start developing more and more of this ACE2 receptor. That's the binding site where the virus can get into the body.
Yeah.
That's the one postulate. The other postulate is that it may well, and I think there's much less evidence for this, may well be because of the all the immunizations that children get at a young age. That may give a booster to the innate immunity, the innate cellular immunity. That may protect them. But I think more likely is the ACE2 receptor expression, which is immature in children.
Okay. Professor Shoup, thank you so much. We are out of time, but just before we go, Clive asking, does the weather have an effect?
It seems to have some effect, particularly low humidity and low temperature, what we get here in the Highveld. I don't think it has a very profound effect, unlike influenza, for example.
Yeah.
So the evidence doesn't, and the reason we're saying that is that we certainly do get outbreaks in tropical climates in Singapore and so on. That didn't seem to affect the spread. But it might have some, but not as profound effect as the other respiratory infections.
Okay. Well, what I'm finding right now is the effect on my memory, and I've tested negative. But anyhow, we're going to be talking about that going forward. Thank you so much. Tomorrow morning, you're talking on your show, The New Normal. You're talking to Saul Thompson.
Saul Thompson, the CEO of the Chirik Adisha. Yeah, looking after the care homes for the aged and the intellectually impaired, a tremendous challenge.
Sure.
And how has he done? He's been remarkably successful in keeping the infections down to a minimum.
Amazing.
So I'll be speaking tomorrow on that.
Okay, fantastic. Look forward to hearing what he has to say. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Thanks.
Chat tomorrow.
And you too. Thanks, Kathy.
Bye-bye.